Our reading from Luke 14, verses 25 through 33. Hear God's word. One day when large groups of people were walking along with Jesus, he turned and he told them, "Anyone who comes to me but refuses to let go of father, mother, spouse, children, brothers, sisters, yes, even one's own self, can't be my disciple. Anyone who won't shoulder his own cross and follow behind me can't be my disciple. Is there anyone here who's planning to build a new house? Doesn't first sit down and figure out the cost so you'll know if you can complete it. If you only get the foundation and then run out of money, you're going to look pretty foolish. Everyone passing by will poke fun at you. He started something he couldn't finish." Or can you imagine a king going into battle against another king without first deciding whether it's possible with his 10,000 troops to face the 20,000 troops of the other? And if he decides he can't, won't he send an emissary and work out a truce? Simply put, if you're not willing to take what is dearest to you, whether plans or people, and kiss it goodbye, you can't be my disciple. May God give us understanding, and let's take just a moment of silent prayer. Amen. As some of you know, recently we were out in California for daughter Jackie's wedding. A really exciting time, and one of the things that we all look forward to the most, especially since all of our family is spread out everywhere, was to have this very rare opportunity to get the family together. New family, old family, and everything in between. There are a lot of cousins, for example, that have not been together all in one place. In fact, none of our family has been together all in one place, maybe ever. So this was pretty exciting, especially just following my mom's 90th birthday and her knowing that this might be her last chance to see a number of her grandchildren and others. And so it was sad news as we were heading up to the wedding from my mom's place to get news from our son Scott that his girlfriend Kelly's mother had had a heart attack. They were flying out themselves, and they were in Chicago switching planes and got the call. Well, of course, they immediately had to turn around because it was massive and she was not expected to live. But once he got back there, then hard choices. How to handle this? How to be on two coasts at the same time? And he was literally trying to figure out, because he knew how important it was to Jackie that he be there, he was trying to figure out if he could somehow get out there quickly and then get back and what to do. And Jackie very kindly helped him to put some perspective on it. And she said, "We want you here, but she needs you there." A hard, painful choice. And I was reading this passage, I thought about that, and I thought of the many difficult choices that we have to make as human beings. This passage has to be one of the most difficult in the Bible. And it starts with the number one choice that each of us has to make as children of God. Are we here to follow him, or are we going to go off in many different directions? What is our purpose? How are we to live? And this particular passage is hard because different versions of it literally say, if you don't hate your parents, hate your spouse, hate your children. And actually, if we go into the original Aramaic language, what it really is meaning is to love less. We are to still love all of our family members, loved ones, but we are to love them less than God. Because as our psalm this morning said, This is the one who created us. This is the one who knows us better than anyone. This is the one who has known us since the moment we were conceived in the womb. This is the one who has plans for us, a purpose for us. And so if we don't start there, then it's very easy for us to get off the track and to lose sight of who we're meant to be and to live our lives never really knowing what those lives were supposed to be. Each Sunday morning when Tim and I drive up here, it's amazing how many cemeteries we pass. I counted one time, I think there must be at least 6 or 7. And that's just going one way. And each time as I look upon them, I see all those headstones. And it reminds me of just how short our lives are. It's amazing. This morning, as we listen to our many prayer requests, as we talk about our aches and pains and how quickly life is flying by, all reminders that our life is so brief. And we have to keep looking at ourselves and saying, are we living the life we were called to live? And that life is to live as a disciple. That's our first and primary purpose. And as we claim that, as we live that, that's where everything starts coming together. Now, it can get very complicated and very complex. We're continually bombarded with all kinds of things, with all kinds of tasks, all kinds of interruptions in our schedules, right? It can at times just feel like we can't keep our head straight. There are things that have to be done. You know, we have responsibilities. We have jobs. We have family members who need us. We have all these things. And so it can be very easy for those things to become our first priority because they're not bad things. But one of our dilemmas is when we're spread so thin and we're running around all over the place, it is then easy to be confused about everything and to be making choices we don't really want to be making. But what part of what Jesus is saying is when we start with God, when we center on God, somehow the other pieces fall into place. So when we start our day with prayer, for example, we can center and be reminded, yeah, it's God who is my purpose. That even teaches us how to love better our loved ones, how to serve better, how to meet needs, how to find the right answers as we're going along. It's not easy, but starting there gives us grounding. It centers us, and it also can calm us in the face of everything that's going on. It can help us to be more even keel in everything that we're doing. Because life, as we said, is short. One of the things that made me laugh I came across this week, there was this article that came out a while back that calculated how a typical lifespan of 70 years is spent. Now, that's the first clue that this is a fairly old calculation, because we are living longer and longer. But 70 was a good typical amount when this came out. And what they estimated was that of that 70-some years, about 23 of those years was spent sleeping. Now, for some of us who don't sleep well, we might be thinking, oh, if only. And then the next one, work. About 16 years of our life goes into work, or 22.8%. It estimated that TV, about 8 years went into watching TV. Now I think that and more probably goes into our mobile devices and technology for many of us. Eating, 6 years. Travel, 6 years. Leisure, 4.5 years. Illness, 4 years. Dressing, 2 years. Do we really spend 2 years of our lives just getting dressed? Oh my goodness, that's scary. And then here's the thing that's sort of startling. Only about 6 months of our time is estimated to go towards our faith life. 6 months. 6 months compared to 8 years watching TV. That's crazy. That's crazy. But how many of us really think about it? We are so busy just rushing through our lives that we don't always think about what is grasping and stealing our time. I suspect that travel is even further these days if you consider the commutes that many people have, just getting to work. There's so much that's stealing our time, and our lives are so short. Which brings to mind another part of our choices. Coming together as the church is God's community. Now, many people in today's world feel so busy with so much going on, including all the sports and things that are going on now on Sundays with their kids. Well, I've got to be there. And so we are torn, right? We're torn. Do I be there for my family, or do I go to church? Or these are all tricky questions. And especially right now, during this back-to-school season, I think this is more like New Year's than around January 1st. This, to me, seems like where the new year starts. And there are so many challenges and opportunities for our kids and our families, you know, during this time of year. We've got a lot of kids going off to college right now. A lot of kids who are starting high school, which is a huge leap. So many things to be thinking about as they prepare for their future, as they start choosing, what am I going to do with my life? But that choice never really ends for us. That decision about what am I going to do with my life is a daily decision. It's a moment-to-moment decision. It's something that we've got to be mindful of all the time, or we can lose it. We can lose opportunities. What does that look like? Have you thought about it? What it looks like when you are living your life with God first? Part of it is there's an increased awareness. An increased awareness of the people all around us. Of figuring out how we can live our lives in the context of what we say we believe. Of how we live by actually walking our talk and not just talking about it. And that can come up in so many ways. I was hearing about a guy who was sitting at a McDonald's. He was doing some work while he was there and sipping on a soft drink. And he noticed this woman who's quite restless. She sat there. She was there for an hour or more. He was kind of wondering what she was there for. And then at a certain point, there was a sort of an angry man who brought a little child in. Clearly it was a situation, a divorced couple, and he was dropping off the child and for visitation. And he was angry, and she said, "Listen, is it possible for you to give me a couple of bucks so I can get something to eat? I've got enough for a happy meal for the child, but that's it." And he said, "No way, I hope you starve to death," and he just stomps out the door. This man watches as she gets up and she cobbles together some change and things to get the happy meal for her child and goes back to sit down. He couldn't just let her sit there. He saw her ask her child if she could have one of the fries, and He gave her half of one he'd already taken a bite of. At that point, he went up and he ordered a couple of big orders for her so she'd have enough to take home too. And said, I want you to give it to her. I don't want you to tell her who gave it to her. Just make sure she has it. And she was so shocked. You could see it on her face. She was so shocked, but so grateful. Now that took what? A few bucks out of his pocket? It was not a big deal to him. But it was a huge deal to her. Not just in terms of feeding her belly, but more important, feeding her spirit. Knowing there was somebody out there who cared. Knowing that maybe she wasn't invisible after all. You hear me saying this a lot, and you're going to hear me say it again. Everywhere around us, there are people who need God's love. And our calling, our purpose, is to share it. All the time. In every way we can. You want to love your family? Do it by seeing all of God's people as your family. You want to love your spouse? Do it by living out God's calling in your life. You want to love your parents? Do it by showing your ultimate parents' love to everyone you meet. I'm praying that as we start this new year and whatever it is that we're doing, that we might be really centered in our ultimate purpose. That's how we'll get our lives in order. The only way. Let us pray. Almighty God, you call us to be a people centered in you, guided by you. And we pray, Lord, that in everything we do, we might reflect you and your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.